Military Supply.
Republicans say they're not ruling out a filibuster of Elena Kagan. Recognize the name. She's the president's choice for the next Supreme Court seat. All of that starts on Monday. That Senate Judicial Committee hearing. We'll see how she fares. Speaking of faring, how's Iran holding up when it comes to amassing uranium? Now it looks like Iran has a real suitcase nuke threat. In fact, the CIA director, Leon Panetta, believes that Iran has enough for two nukes, and it's just a question of putting it all together. That's what we're going to do here on America Tonight. We're trying to put it together for you, the pieces, that is, as we are coast to coast and all those spots in between. Hey, hey, everybody. My name's Kate Delaney, and we're going to sail forward and leave this port. A lot of things to cover in this hour of ATN. We start with the G20. Anybody who was anybody, well, on the good guys list, we think, they were in Toronto until Sunday meeting to discuss global deficits, probably one of the biggest things, but not the only thing. There was a pledge toward the end of the meeting, and that was that deficits would be halved by 2013. By 2013, and that's from the top 20 industrial and developing nations at the end of their little weekend get-together. In the meantime, we've got $13 trillion. That's our deficit. And our president is concerned that cutting stimulus spending too quickly could stall the global recovery overall. So, you know, it was a critical meeting, you would think. Was there a clear message? The stimulus plan is expiring, and it's about getting finances in order. So 2013, I don't think so. You'd have to add on a whole lot of years to make that, I think, plausible, if even by then. Really, 2016, they're saying have the deficits by 2013, stabilize or even reduce government debt to GDP ratios by 2016. You think that'll happen in the United States? Do you think that we will be at a point where the debt won't be $13 trillion, it'll be half that? Do you honestly believe that? So you know who the world's players are that we're talking about here. United States, Japan, Germany, France, Britain, Canada, Italy, Russia, and then some major developing nations. You have China and India, Brazil, South Korea. They were all present and accounted for over the weekend to talk about the tightrope between deficit spending and really, really fragile economies. I mean, so fragile. It's like you're hanging on and you're going to fall down the cliff, and it's just your fingernails that are holding it together for you. So here's what our president said after the summit.
We are convinced that we have the right strategy to provide the time and the space for the Afghan government to build up capacity over the next several months and years, and this period that we're in right now is going to be critical both on the political front and on the military front.
All right, and so that was the other obsession at the G20 was Afghanistan and the timeline on Afghanistan. Obama wasn't the only one to throw in his two cents on that. Also, Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada, did, and a few other countries, as to what the timeline or how it was looking. There wasn't an exact date, but how it was looking in Afghanistan, because there were so many questions about what's happening in the war effort with that country. The other big deal was the meeting, the first sit-down meeting with David Cameron. Does that name sound familiar? It should, if you're keeping score of world leaders. David Cameron is the new guy in England. He's the new British Prime Minister, sort of the new guy on the block. And President Obama and Cameron had a meeting over the weekend, an hour-long meeting, and that was many one-on-ones that Obama did while he was in Canada. And this is obviously one of our closest allies, so this has to be a strong working relationship. Wouldn't one think that? In this little snippet we're going to play for you, actually Obama talks about booze.
I advised him that in America, we drink our beer cold. So he has to put this in the refrigerator before he drinks it, but I think he will find it outstanding. And I'm happy to give that a shot, although I will not drink it warm.
So I think he was making light of the situation, but there was tension between the two of them because when it came to Afghanistan, which you heard the president talk about Afghanistan when we let you hear the little snippet, the first snippet, one of the things that Cameron said while he was in Toronto is he wants all British troops out of Afghanistan by 2015. And he emphasized we cannot and will not be there for another 5 years. We've been there 9 years already. So it is a sign of the pressure Cameron's feeling or the Britisher feeling over their support for a very unpopular war outside of our borders, to say the least. Obama even said at one point they just see the world, we see the world in a similar way, and we're convinced we have the right strategy. Now, pulling out in 2015, I mean, that is a deadline, and that's the largest contingent of troops from any other NATO country other than the U.S. The British have the most invested. I mean, we have the most, period, bar none. But the British have the second most, and it's troops that are needed, frankly, in some of those villages if you want to rely on the NATO countries. So the deadline is the deadline. Cameron says that he's sticking to it. And he's comfortable with that, and he's comfortable in saying that. And they didn't talk, which is interesting. They didn't talk about the oil spill or British Petroleum. How about that? So no mention whatsoever of British Petroleum, despite how we're getting battered on the coast, however much oil is leaking out. Never discussed. They made sure to release that to say, We didn't really talk about the oil spill or BP. They didn't mention anything about that. It was all about the global economy, the UN sanctions, the resolutions, the UN sanctioned resolutions on Iran, the Afghanistan situation. But, oh yeah, there was this oil spill. I don't think we really got to that, or at least we're not going to tell you what we discussed when it comes to BP. We're going to dive into British Petroleum next, and where we're at in this leak at day 70 almost, and are the people in the Gulf really feeling it? And the answer to that is yes. We had people on last week to talk about it, to talk about the seafood, to talk about some of the things that are starting to happen. And you have this Alex tropical storm that is possibly heading the way of the Gulf. Right now, it's not completely on target to hit there, but there's a good chance it could take a turn and go that way. It's growing back into a tropical storm, we hope, and not improving into a hurricane. Ooh, that'd be disastrous. Hang with us.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative news newsletters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's three-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling four-herb tea. The testimonials are incredible! And so are the summer specials at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe? Think again. Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
After 70 years, it's what he goes there for, is to unlock the door. All those around him criticize and say, and through his crystal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
Around because a lot is shaken and rattling across this great country, including more conversations about the Gulf of Mexico and this oil disaster and what's really happening with the fishermen and the shrimpers and what in these trawlers. I mean, their trawlers are docked. Are they getting money from British Petroleum? What does the future look like? What about seafood from the Gulf? Last week, we talked about that with a chef from Louisiana. I happened to be going somewhere deeper on the Oklahoma border and saw a restaurant that had a big, bright sign that said, "We serve seafood from the Gulf." I thought that was great. We support the Gulf, and we serve seafood from the Gulf. So how bad is bad on a scale of 1 to 10? What's it like? What about Florida? What's happening? What's happening is there really is a lot of hotel cancellations. The people aren't going to hot spots that they normally would go to in Pensacola because they know of the tar balls, and they know that they don't want to walk along the beach that's devastated by this. In Alabama, Gulf Shores, same thing. So this is a region where they've gone through Katrina and just 5 years ago, and it devastated, I mean devastated, parts of Louisiana and Alabama. Now you've got this oil spill, and what's the effect of the oil spill so far? Well, oil field workers, and all of you, this is a smart audience, you know this, do the math. Oil field workers, their salaries are the best of the best in that area. A lot of the people that go and work on these platforms have families and are willing to sacrifice it. They're willing to go for long stretches of time because the livelihood is so good. And some of them are born and bred into it. They come from families where a lot of others worked in the oil business. That's not unusual. A lot of it is handed down just like miners, just like in the fishing industry. It is part of what makes up the culture. It is the backbone of the coastal economy. And how are they making up this livelihood? Because the fear that the oil is going to taint the oysters and the shrimp and the fish, people are, honest to God, struggling. And whether it's on the boats, whether it's taking people on the boats, whatever it is. And you know what's really sad is they're saying that people, they've seen a significant increase. And this is something you don't even think about, but they've seen a significant increase in people seeking help since the oil spill began, mentally going to the mental health centers in some of these states, in Mississippi and Alabama, because they're so affected by this. And these are, you think of shrimpers, fishermen, all those kind of people. These are tough, dyed-in-the-wool characters. These are people that you don't think of as not being able to handle it because they wouldn't want to be seen as weak, but they're over the top. They're over the top with grief on what's going on, and especially in the wake of a big story that broke about a charter captain who was wildly popular who committed suicide on his docked boat and didn't have anything to do with the spill. You can't say that for sure. He didn't leave a note saying that. But the captain's death spread up and down the Gulf Coast, and it definitely struck a nerve with a lot of people that you have worry over what's going on with the folks, what the feeling is on the Gulf. And it makes you sick when you think about it. So that doesn't answer the question of how much oil, what about the leak, all that sort of stuff. And the answer to that question is, you know, it's up in the air. It doesn't matter who you talk to, who you try to talk to from BP. I tried to talk to someone this weekend, and you get pretty much pat answers. Anything that you hear reported, anything you see is what's out there to everybody. And now in some of the areas where the oil spilled, if anything, BP is trying to limit access of the press. I mean, they wouldn't tell you that if you talk to them. Oh, no, it's business as usual, and we're willing to answer any questions and all that sort of stuff. But actually, it's not true. I think, if anything, they're trying to fend off questions. And sure, if I'm the PR person, that's what I would be trying to do, too. I would be trying, in one sense, to spin it in a positive way and try to keep everyone off my back. But on the other hand, in looking what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico, I think there should be full access so the people in the United States and the people along the Gulf Coast really, really know as much as possible as what's happening, right? I can tell you this, Alex, that storm I talked about, is right now been graded a tropical storm. It's going to cross the Gulf of Mexico very late, just a couple of hours ago. It dumped a bunch of rain, heavy, heavy rain, on Central America and the Yucatan Peninsula. But the path of the storm is what we're concerned about. And what we'll see from that, you know, what we'll see from that, is it just going to be a tropical storm and go over? Is it going to gain even more wind? You had maximum winds at about 45 miles an hour. It's clear of the oil spill at this point. But the concern is the storm strengthening over warm waters of the Gulf of Mexico, and it could be a hurricane possibly in the next maybe 48 hours or so. And you've got tourists who are all over Central America and Guatemala and Mexico, and with the heavy, heavy rain, there's concern over mudslides, and you have people there running for cover in Belize and trying to stay out as far out of this as possible. But Alex is the first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season. The worry is not about names, is not about any of that. It's about what kind of an effect it could have on the millions of gallons of crude that is spewing into the Gulf. So we've got now a cap over the blown out undersea well. So that, what's that doing essentially? It's directing some of the oil to a surface ship. We all know this story. Then it's being collected or burned. Other ships are drilling two relief wells, but remember, they're not going to be done until August. If the storm misses where all the oil is pouring out, that's a good thing. But the storm's track, as we know with storms, can certainly change, and we do not want to see that. The change would absolutely hurt the where the oil's going, how fast it heads to certain beaches, and that sort of thing. And what they're seeing in Mississippi is they're seeing large patches of thick oil from the Gulf of Mexico washing in ashore on Mississippi beaches for the first time. It happened really on Sunday. And you think about how long this has been going on, since April 20th. And now they're seeing thicker oil. I looked at a picture today where you had a boat that was pulling something along the surface of the Gulf near the large streaks of oil right near Mississippi. And probably still the hardest hit is the wetlands. They've been the hardest hit. Mississippi had been okay, even though there were reports that they weren't, until Sunday. Now the oil is there. Oil has also come ashore in Alabama and Florida's Gulf Coast. Oil from the spill hit two tourist beaches at Ocean Springs. That's about 10 miles east of Biloxi, Mississippi. And it's a big beach that's actually used by fishermen. And it's very close to an inland marsh. And in Mississippi, they're saying they've got the Coast Guard on alert for this. They expect more oil to arrive. So they're waiting for those BP contractors to start cleaning up, because they can't clean up or catch the oil until British Petroleum gets there. They said they have all of their people. How frustrating that must be. And how many barrels? Now they're estimating 60,000 barrels. Do you buy it? Do you know? Who knows? We don't know. Hang with us.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency. And I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
And I think it really does make a difference.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me.
So how about financial reform? It's been talked about for now, I don't know, the past 2 years, really. Finally, congressional negotiators decided to strike a deal. They were sick of it on Friday. I think they caved in on a couple of points on what's now being described as the toughest financial regs since the Depression. And the idea is to rein in Wall Street from whatever the excesses are, and basically fatten the hatches, tighten the rules on everything from a debit card swipe to some pretty interesting issues when it comes to derivatives and understanding some of the complex webs that are out there to try to pick apart and as to what happened with the great bailout, the great American bailout, as I call it. But will this... It's supposed to be signed by July 4th, but will this do anything? What will, if this is the biggest overhaul since the healthcare overhaul, and we're talking about, tightening things, what are these new restraints going to do to the banks? And what does it mean for anybody who has their money in a bank? And what's going to happen is this. How much do you pay? Does anyone out there use checks? I was in the grocery store the other day, and somebody in front of me, a guy in front of me, was actually writing a check. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Dude, you're killing me. Writing a check? You got to do the swipe thing. But he was old school. He was all about the check deal. And I guarantee there's people listening to me that still use checks. How much do you pay if you order those checks through your banks? $38 for a box of checks? Ridiculous. So that's just one gotcha fee that jumps up. But there's going to be all kinds of new fees that you'll find, whether it's Bank of America or Chase or whoever. If they're getting screwed or they think they're getting screwed, they're going to put it to you. They're going to figure out a way to do it. And the other, it's the cost of doing business. And the other thing is we need money to come. If we're supposedly attacking this deficit, you still have to make loans. Anybody try to get a loan lately? What does your credit score have to be? What else are they going to look at in trying to get those loans? It's tougher and tougher and tougher. So if lenders feel like are shaky about making these loans, if they can't verify in any way that they really believe the borrower can repay it, then I think you're going to see a lot of crazy mortgage things happen. There's not going to be incentives to push people into buying some of these crazy high-priced loans that will be out there. And I think there are a couple of things in this that are just foolhardy. So here's what Senator Richard Shelby, this was his take on those, on the financial reform, rather.
We like to have some consumer advocacy there, but the market generally controls that. But where we don't have the prudential regulators, like the Federal Reserve, the Comptroller of the Currency, that could say no to some of these things, we're creating a model like Fannie and Freddie had.
Yeah, exactly. It's a model set up for, I think, set up for disaster and everything that I can read through this. I mean, look, we all had the hostility toward Wall Street and the government bailouts were ridiculous. And then to turn around and say that they were making these huge bonuses, it was asinine, absolutely. But now, you blaming the banks and the lenders for the economic problems, what it means is, I also think this is a way to try to cling to whatever the majorities are in the midterm elections for the Democrats. But I think the package is not an improvement for you or me. I don't think it's an improvement at all for consumers. So the very complicated regulations that obviously are understood by banks who went the derivative ways, I think will cripple the average, I won't say cripple, will do damage to the average middle-class family. I mean, we're already getting swacked about the knees anyway. You have health care legislation coupled now with this financial reform, and who knows what else is down the line. We saw what happened with Fannie and Freddie. It's a terrible, terrible thing that happened with both of those. They were the mortgage giants who have benefited from the federal bailouts. And it's very questionable as to really why are both allowed to exist when their lending practices were as dishonest as the next guy's, only because they have the government attached to it. So it ignores everything when it comes to tightening the restrictions on Fannie and Freddie. And both were disastrous. Well, then you think about who was part of the House Finance Committee. So this bill doesn't really address the original crisis, and it doesn't prevent a replay of what happened in the past. It doesn't do that whatsoever. So what is the plan, and how is this financially solvent in trying to get the system to move forward? I think, if anything, it's going to be a gigantic obstacle, to say the least. All right, I'm going to move from that. Just expect higher bank fees. Maybe the whole thing about money in the mattress isn't such a bad idea, seriously. You're going to pay more, and you know what? When you get nickel and dime like that, it really, really adds up. I have friends who put their money in other banks in other countries. Not like they have just so much money, but you can get a checking account. Might be a little bit risky, but you can get a checking account with bigger returns in China. Did you know that? And more people are starting to do things like that. Oh, man. All right, so we move from bogus financial reform, and we'll poke more holes in that in our next show, but we move from the fury of it to Something else, drones. Drones. Thumbs up, thumbs down. There are drones on the border in Texas. There was a discussion about, wow, these drones can be mightily effective. And with the struggles that we're having across the country with the financial pinch and everything, what about drones as a way to monitor traffic? Which, no thank you. Less government, less interference. Don't want drones. Can't imagine how screwed up that process would be if you were nailed by a drone going through a stop sign. But what about on the border? Leon Panetta, the head of the CIA, likes the drones and wants everybody to get off the back of the drone, if that's possible. Here's what he says.
We have a responsibility to defend this country, and that's what we're doing. And anyone who suggests that somehow, you know, we're employing other tactics here that somehow violate international law are dead wrong.
Because that's what's been brought up, that the drones with collateral damage in Afghanistan and other places shouldn't be deployed, should be outlawed, should not be used, and they're breaking international law. The United States is doing that by using the drones. The other thing Panetta talked about is that the U.S. has driven back al-Qaeda, saying he's really the U.S. has pushed al-Qaeda back into hiding, and it's cutting off the legs of the leadership. But the Taliban is still the primary get that's at risk. In other words, there's too many Taliban tentacles, and they like to slice them off in Afghanistan. So now we have a new war plan, and this new war plan relies on 98,000 troops to help the Afghanistan government and prevent al-Qaeda from returning. And the commander-in-chief isn't McChrystal. He's gone. He's sacked. He's out of there. And the new guy in town is Petraeus. So al-Qaeda, their strategy relies on operatives to assimilate in the United States or somewhere else. And Osama bin Laden, that's the question we always ask. You know, you had the rogue guy who went hunting Osama bin Laden, and he's got kidney failure, and people thought of him as the crazy hunter guy. But he did it. He armed up and went over there and decided, I'm going to find Osama bin Laden, crazy or not. But the head of the CIA says it's been years since we've had any good intelligence about his whereabouts. Years since we've known anything about Osama bin Laden. And the drone attacks and the defense of the drone attacks partially comes from the fact, in pushing back al-Qaeda, Panetta believes if they didn't have the drones and other spy operations, they wouldn't have been able to take down half of the senior leaders that they were able to push out of business without the drone attacks. So the fight, according to Panetta, is about the Taliban. Osama bin Laden is nowhere to be found, and there's no good info on him for years. For at least, he says, 3 years. But yet, he finds ways, bin Laden does, to send messages every couple of months or so that are on Al Jazeera that the CIA and the FBI and anybody who's anyone in the spy game or in matters of tracking down video and authenticating it, they always authenticate it. His voice patterns, all that other sort of stuff. So the rumor floating around that he's dead, it couldn't be right if our government is correct in their assessment of the propaganda that is pushed out, like I mentioned, every couple of months on Osama bin Laden. Sadly, I don't think we'll ever catch Osama bin Laden. And I know there are people that are frothing at the mouth for that to happen. We can count next.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcasts?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from KeroStove. KeroStove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now, get the Family Emergency Kit at kerostove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at kerostove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to kerostove.com. Kero Stove, for family emergency solutions.
If you suffer from poor sleep,
you've got to try MyPillow.
Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose?
Except poor sleep.
Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Here's a question. If you have a septic system, did you know that proper maintenance can save you thousands of dollars in costly and unnecessary repairs? The answer is simple. Use septic system injector treatments made specifically for your home or business, available only at SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Made in the U.S., guaranteed to reduce sludge and odor by continuously cleaning your septic system, drain pipes, and leach field, this non-hazardous patented injector system contains billions of natural active bacteria and enzymes proven to digest household waste. With every flush, millions of enzyme-active bacteria flow through your system, breaking down organic waste. Only Simple Septic Solutions' natural eco-friendly products keep your septic system unclogged and free-flowing, claims other products can't make. Installation is simple and lasts for 4 full months. Visit SimpleSepticSolutions.com. That's SimpleSepticSolutions.com. Or call 508-759-0010. That's 508-759-0010.
Top we can count. How about that? The Disney Pixar animation smash hit was number one at the box office with $59 million its second week. It raised its domestic total to $226.6 million. There was another movie, and we previewed it on our cheap movie night, our segment anyway, on Thursday, called Grown Ups. Adam Sandler was in that and all his buddies, Kevin James, Chris Rock, David Spade, Rob Schneider. It was number two, $41 million. What's kind of interesting is Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz were in a movie called Night and Day, and that was three at the box office, $20.5 million. It's the worst for a Cruise action movie in 20 years. So I wonder if audiences just don't make the connection with Tom Cruise anymore because of, and some people think this, because of his jumping on the couch a couple of years ago, and that's been a while now, and some of the things that happened where he attacked Brooke Shields and for her saying she had postpartum depression and that there's nothing to do with psychology because he was on sort of defending Scientology, I think a little bit on the Today Show, and all those things happened right in a row. Is there a thing about Tom Cruise now? Because he's one of the biggest stars of all time. But did it, you know, did it impact him? I don't know. I'm not sure. Reviews were kind of fair to negative for Night and Day anyway. He's a spy in the movie, and he gets romantic with a civilian on a crazy globe-hopping adventure sort of deal. And maybe that's it. I mean, they had a heavy marketing. There were all kinds of sneak peek things and all that sort of stuff, but so far, no go. I think even the two of them did a lot of interviews. What do you think, Matt? Is Tom Cruise passé? Is he over with? Do you think that he tainted his image a little bit?
Yeah, I think so, and much to my delight, because I don't really like him at all.
Now, before the nutso stuff,
I didn't like him before that.
Any of his movies?
No,
one of them.
There's like two good movies, Days of Thunder and Top Gun. Other than that, there is not a lot.
Oh, Jerry Maguire is pretty good. Come on.
It's an all right movie because of Cuba Gooding Jr., but
well,
he's
that
not
counts.
Special.
Okay, so I'd say there's three. I agree with Days of Thunder. I agree with, what's the other one? Top Gun.
Yeah,
absolutely, and that's a cult hit, and it's still good. It's from the 80s, and yet people would still watch it. And I think Jerry Maguire, even if it is more because Cuba Gooding Jr., but I would say those three.
He can't really act that well, I don't think. He plays the same guy in every movie.
He does.
And he's always running for some reason, and he's always got that smug smile on his face. I don't know.
He does play the same guy.
He cannot act. Like, ask him to do an accent or something, and it's terrible. That movie, Valkyrie, why was everyone else in the movie using a German accent except for Tom Cruise?
Yeah,
because
he's bad in that.
One.
He's bad in the Irish movie with Nicole Kidman. You're right. Accents are not Tom Cruise. No. He started with so much promise, too, but I would say the same thing. His recent movies, The Vanilla Sky, all that stuff, it's the same guy.
And even, like, I mean, Cocktail and Risky Business, they're all right movies, but it's just, it's Tom Cruise that kind of ruins the movie for me. I don't know.
All right, Tom Cruise, hate him, love him, guys. What do you think, AmericanTonight.net? How about this? Michael Jackson's tour glove sold over the weekend. You know, we have Harry Rinker on twice a month, the guru of all things collectible, to talk about your stuff that's in the attic or stuffed in a drawer or something you might think might be worth something. Well, bidders from all over the place really ate up the whole Michael Jackson memorabilia thing. And at an auction, his studded glove, sold for $190,000. $190,000. Woo! And that glove actually brought 10 times more than the estimated value. So the memorabilia just soared. Over $1 million for different pieces that were up for grabs. Like the jacket that he was wearing when he did an interview with Barbara Walters. They listed it for $6,000 to $8,000. You know what? It sold for $120,000. Then the fedora hat, you know, the white fedora, that went for $56,000. So almost everything in what it was priced at got way more than that. And it just goes to show you, some celebrities are worth more dead than alive. And Jackson, for all the nutty, crazy crap in his background, definitely struck a chord with a lot of music people, and certainly people with money were willing to pony it up to get a piece of Michael Jackson. Ooh, what does that say? $190,000 for that glove, man. All right, so the party's over. Here's the negative news: the party's over. The home buyer tax credit is done, and it might be kind of the hangover, as it's described, might just be beginning. I think we've touched upon this in a lot of the things that we looped into the show tonight. Because, for example, if you look at some builders like KB Homes, where they have moderate to lower priced homes, they became the latest home builder to report a incredible drop in new home orders in the last 3 months. I mean, the builder's orders plunged 23% versus the same quarter last year. It's hard to stay alive in the game when you're down that much, you know that there's people definitely laid off. And what do you attribute that to? Low mortgage interest rates and home buyer tax credits supported some sales and home orders. But the tax credits, which is $8,000 for the first timers and $6,500 for current homeowners, ended in April. So what normally happened in May or June is not happening. And a lot of people that were trying to buy a home or to qualify, if they couldn't qualify, that was it. They decided not to buy afterwards because they didn't get the break that they looked like they were going to get. Let's talk about oil for a second, and oil hovering below $79 a barrel. This is on Monday. Remember, in Asia, things open on their stock exchange before the United States. So it's $79 a barrel, and everybody's keeping a close eye on the possible damage if the Hurricane Alex slams into the rigs in the Gulf of Mexico. Let's hope not. Storms can go off track. Right now, it's not looking. Right now, it's good. Right now, fingers crossed, it's looking pretty good. But benchmark crude for August delivery down 6 cents, 78.80 a barrel in early afternoon Singapore time in electronic trading. And then we see what happens on the New York Mercantile Exchange because we have yet to open at this point. But Alex has already pounded parts of Mexico and Central America. We talked about that. And will it become a full-fledged hurricane and hit the, Gulf of Mexico? At this point, it's a coin flip. It's looking like no, but the warm waters gaining some, gaining some momentum. And there is that off chance that, yes, it could wreak havoc. And, boy, let's hope not. All right, the World Cup is done for the U.S., but I thought I'd throw in a couple of interesting scores. Argentina beat Mexico 3-1 at the World Cup. They got a couple of breaks they needed. They got it. Germany beat England 4-1 in the World Cup. How about that? Wow. And in the meantime, you got a couple of Wimbledon scores. There was no Wimbledon played on Sunday, but some of your top seeds, like 1, 2, 3, are still in the thick of it. But, boy, there have been some definite challenges. Rafa Nadal had to play 5 sets in his second-round match, and he came back from 2-1 down in his third-round clash. So he's had a really – he's got the knee that's kind of questionable – and he's had to really dig it out to hang in there for Wimbledon and see if he can turn the tide and pick up another one. He's the king of the clay, so to speak. And that's where we end. We can count. Remember, you can always send me your emails about anything on the show or whatever you want to talk about to AmericaTonight.net.